The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From sunny Central Florida, for OnForce providers only, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the first, the only, and the unofficial podcast for the providers of OnForce, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we will cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the OnForce community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. Most providers are either small IT service companies or sole proprietors who service the end user directly. When we service our own customers, we either send out one of our own staff or do it ourselves, depending on our business model. Either way, we initiate and close the transaction with the customer directly. When we service customers for another company, we are often independent contractors thrown on the front lines of another client's operation, one whose users are not ours and may not even be those of the company who contracted us. In fact, sometimes the company who subcontracted us is a subcontractor for another subcontractor of another contractor. By the time it gets to us, we are often the last to know what the job involves and, more often than not, the last to be paid. In a sense, we are no longer merely contractors or even subcontractors, but part of a tiered network of solution providers. Yet we are not at the top tier, or even in the middle, but either next to or at the very bottom of what some believe is a long ladder of service companies who sometimes are nothing more than high-priced sales or marketing machines for the IT service industry. And everyone in the line takes their cut. By the time the pie reaches the provider, there's not a lot left to make the trip, much less for the job itself. So before we accept each job, we ask ourselves, is it worth accepting? Or will we only break even? Or lose money even considering it? Because whether we like it or not, there is a growing concern among some that the entire industry is adopting an outsourcing strategy that puts us at the end of a downline in what has become little more than a multi-level marketing for IT. Do you subscribe to this or do you disagree? Are you profitable as the last in the downline? Or would you be better as a middleman? We'll find out what you think. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. A new web browser has just been launched that promises to allow users to surf the web with complete, yes, I said complete, privacy. Called Browzar, the new web browser does not record a history file, cache pages, or permanently store cookies. According to their website, with Browzar, you can search and surf the web without leaving any visible trace on the computer you are using. Browzar has a very small footprint. The program is only 264 kilobytes in size and can run without being installed. It's also free. It is currently in beta. You can download it at www.browzar.com. Microsoft has named Toshiba as the manufacturer of its new iPod-like line of products known as Zune. According to News Factor magazine online, Toshiba filed papers with the FCC last Thursday. A spokesperson for one of Microsoft's PR firms later confirmed Friday that Toshiba plans to manufacture the device. The Microsoft MP3 player, due by the end of the year, will feature Wi-Fi capabilities, a 30-gigabyte hard drive, and an FM radio tuner. While this may not shake up the MP3 player market for Apple, it may actually put Microsoft at odds with its own partners, such as Creative and its ZenVision M and iRiver Clix players. Unless there are delays in the release of the Zune, and with Microsoft, anything is possible, the next few months will be interesting. Well, it was bound to happen sooner or later, and it has. StopBadware.org has issued a preliminary report that includes AOL 9.0 on its list as badware. StopBadware.org, an organization that bills itself as a neighborhood watch campaign aimed at fighting badware, recently placed AOL 9.0 free version on its list of open inquiries of badware, along with the Starware News Toolbar and Zango Easy Messenger. The report states that, in our preliminary findings, we find that AOL 9.0 free version is currently badware because it installs additional software without telling the user, it forces the user to take certain actions, it adds various components to Internet Explorer and the taskbar without disclosure, and it may automatically update without the user's consent. Then they stated, in bold print, we currently recommend that users do not install the version of AOL software that we tested unless the user is comfortable with the level of risk we identify or until the application is updated consistent with the recommendations in this report. The response from AOL, posted by the site on August 27th, reads, AOL reports that they are reviewing this report and that they are taking steps to address what's noted here. No big surprise there. After all, AOL's core program is little more than a bloated dialer bundled with an even more bloated browser. I found that AOL 9, especially the so-called Security Edition, seems to vastly improve performance on many PCs only after it is completely uninstalled. With all the hype about security and malware protection and those cute ads on TV, no doubt AOL has some explaining to do. And that's the news in the force field. I am very particular about what goes in the force field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the Force Field online 24/7, GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow providers. There is a trend in the marketplace to outsource IT services to third-party vendors. Most phone tech support generally goes overseas. However, on-site services are outsourced to domestic companies due to their accessibility to the end user. Traditionally, this labor is subcontracted by a major company to a third party who dispatches an employee to do the job or who does it themselves as a sole proprietor or independent contractor. However, lately, some of these subcontractors have subcontracted to other companies themselves, who in turn sub it out to someone else. This multi-level format has now evolved to a point that makes it difficult for the technician on the end to actually perform the work and still remain profitable. Can he do it? If so, how can it be done? And at what point does the service channel become too multi-tiered to even work? Steve will weigh in and tell us what he thinks. And we're talking to Steve. Steve, welcome to the Force Field.
Hey, Ricky.
How are you this evening, Steve?
Pretty good.
What is your business?
I actually am a little different from most of your listeners. I actually work in the W-2 contract market. I actually work for a company called Apex Systems right now.
Oh, okay.
I was actually wanting to discuss a little bit about, you know, all the middlemen cutting down on quality of service. I believe that all the middlemen are affecting quality. Matter of fact, I got an email today from the computer merchant for a job. It was actually to go into a donut shop and install and to turn up a DSL line and install Cisco routers.
For a POS system?
No, apparently it's just their DSL broadband setup. So it just says test and tune-up of DSL and the installation of all new Cisco routers, pre-configured.
What was the SL on this?
$40, flat fee.
Oh, my goodness. So I can only imagine what they're charging the end user for this. Now, if you were also a dispatcher and you were going to dispatch it to your techs, if you had multiple techs, in order for you to make a profit on this or to make any money on this, what do you think you would be paying your techs to do this job?
If I had a W-2 hourly tech, I'd say probably between $15 to $20 an hour, which leaves basically almost nothing.
Do you think for the tech that's working for you, do you think that would be a fair rate for him?
If it's a W-2 tech, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a 1099, absolutely not.
Whether or not he's certified or whether he's holding a lot of certifications?
Well, the certification debate has gone on and on. I mean, you can have certifications and not know anything, or you
True.
Can know a whole bunch of stuff and not have any.
True, but if you're going to dispatch a tech that is going to install a Cisco router, I would assume he would have some Cisco certification for that.
I would hope so. What's really funny is in this email that I got, they say these Cisco routers are already configured, but, you know, down below, and just similar to other work orders we've seen, it's got some other things that are listed. That,
yep.
You know, site should not take more than 1 hour.
Yeah.
Engineers must be local. They must have cell phones. They must have laptops. And they cannot pay for mileage, parking, or any other expenses.
Oh, goodness. That doesn't leave them with very much then.
No.
So, do you feel that in the long term this is going to be profitable for you to take this, if even if you're the last tech in the line?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm actually seeing the same effect in the W-2 market.
Mm-hmm.
You start with the top company, and they sub it out to another company, then subs it out to another company, then subs mm-hmm. it out to another company before it finally gets to, you know, someone like me. And then you got four or five people above you taking their cut. Where you could be in there at first level and making, you know, probably a decent amount of money.
How many people do you think should be in the channel on this?
Well, preferably one.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the ideal situation.
Well, I agree. Unfortunately, I think most companies have figured out a long time ago that it's actually more profitable to be the dispatcher or to be the middleman than the tech on the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, first of all, they don't have to actually go out and do the work. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is you reach a point where you say, you know, I'm just tired of going out and doing this. Why don't I hire somebody else to do this for me? I can sit around and just take the work orders, take the calls, send them off to him, and go have a cup of coffee while he deals with all of the dirt.
Right. That almost, in effect, is adding another middleman.
Mm-hmm. But that is what every middleman does, really.
Yeah,
and I
true.
Think that's why everybody wants to be the middleman. Nobody really wants to be the tech at the end of the line because they realize what a dirty job it is.
Yeah. Everybody wants the money, but nobody wants to do the work.
Well, that's true. That's true. So now, as a W-2, how do you actually operate your business?
Generally, well, as a W-2 contractor, basically I'm an employee of the company I work for, and they send me out to another site. Actually, I work on site at IBM now through Apex Systems, supporting IBM's e-business, their web hosting accounts.
Okay. Do you see yourself as continuing on as a W-2?
No, I'm actually looking for a permanent position with a company somewhere.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a time frame are you looking at?
As soon as possible, hopefully, but within the next year.
Okay, Steve. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, and you're welcome to call in anytime.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
And we're talking to Dave. Dave, welcome to the Force Field.
It's good to be back. Middlemen, how many can there be? Preferably none. What I'd like to see is one. Hope for only two, and pray I don't see three middlemen in between me and the original one. But supporting on these calls, unless the end user is going to start paying out the nose, and there comes a point that they're going to look, I can pay $400 for tech support, or I can buy a new computer. Mm-hmm. They're going to go for the new computer. So they can't keep charging higher prices to get more money to us at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to get more money to us at the bottom is to get less people involved in the middle.
Yep. But what we're seeing here now is instead of seeing fewer people, we're seeing more. And it looks like the industry is adopting, rather than a strategy of just servicing the customer, it's adopting more of an outsourcing strategy that puts us at the end of a downline and what is really starting to become a multi-level marketing for IT. I mean, we're starting to become part of a multi-level marketing network. How do you feel about that?
I agree with you. We are becoming this. More and more companies are looking at this as a practical revenue stream for them, and they're going to try to get in on it, and which is why you get a lot of fingers in the pie, actually. It would be okay if there was just a few because that gave you some leeway on pricing, but like you say, there's more and more and more, and pretty soon we're going to be down to accepting, you know, rock-bottom bids on it or end up paying for the right to be able to run these calls.
Well, one of the things that concerns me, too, is how the end user will be paying for this. We can only go so low. We can only accept these calls so low before we can't do them anymore. So as more and more of these middlemen get into the game, what happens is that they're forced to raise their prices somewhat to the end user so that they can get their cut, or that there's a larger cut that they can take. And I see the end user really being the victim of this multi-level marketing strategy. And really, I think in the long term, it can actually hurt the industry and the market as a whole, because you're going to see the prices rise somewhat for the end user. They're the ones that are having to pay through the nose for some of this. And now it's not just a matter of paying for service. Now they're paying for a middleman, and sometimes two, and sometimes three or more, just to get someone at their door.
It is a two-edged sword for that end user. The end user it comes down to, once again, either they're going to pay this higher and higher fee to get someone to show up at their door going through these national companies, or they're actually, if the other edge of the sword is for the small business guy who can sit there and take advantage of this. I mean, I myself, on my website, I have the price for a local company. I have the price for, I show my prices compared to them. I mean, the local people are really close on pricing compared to, and I use them because they're a nice national firm. And if I'm showing that they're charging this rate and locally it's coming in cheaper, if the people take the time and look, they will find out that they're going to get better deals right in their own backyard, and they don't have to go with the national companies. And the ones that do decide to go with the national companies, they're going to pay and pay and pay. And who are they going to see? The same person if they would have gone locally.
So there is a slight marketing advantage for the local guy competing. You know, you can only do that to a point, because then at some point, these other IT companies are going to be competing against you. They're going to have to lower the prices. And of course, they won't lower them down to bargain basement prices, but they will try to lower them somewhat to at least compete with each other, if not with you. And
right.
Of course, that will limit how many more people can get into the game. It will also prevent the provider at the very bottom from ever seeing an increase to the amount they get for the work that they're doing.
Well, right now, and as you and a lot of others already know, to see an increase basically means no one takes the job and waits for them to turn around and realize to either get it paid or to get it done, I'm going to have to pay more.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to have to go out and hire somebody in this area and pay him to go and run these calls for me.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the other nationals lowering their prices to try to compete better with the locals,
mm-hmm.
you got to look at the United States as a whole. Prices in my area are fairly high. But by looking at everybody else's websites, talking to them on the forums and whatnot, they're actually not a whole lot different. I mean, yes, Grant, some areas, Wyoming and whatnot, it really surprised to see them charging $40 an hour, or, you know, they're flat rating it for $50 an hour or whatever. And those are the odd low ends. Nationals can't compete with them. They can compete with the high price companies in mm-hmm. certain areas, but they don't have the room to come down. You have the room to go up or down depending on your cost. You're not trying to support a call center and an 800 number and whatever.
So there is a little light here at the end of the tunnel. However, that's providing you're on a track to servicing your own customers and not someone else's, really.
That's true. I mean, if we use it like I do, it's pickup work here and there, and only at my choosing and only at my price.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to meet my price, I don't have to do their job for them. It can sit. It can rot. The end user is going to get upset. He's going to pick that phone up, flip on the yellow pages, look down there, find me, and call me. And I'm going to sit there and say, well, it'll be this much. Come out, and I'll do the job.
But the bottom line, it really means that in the long run, we're probably not going to see the prices get any better overall. I mean, at least the wages that are paid to the provider or the tech at the bottom end really increase much overall, just due to the nature of the industry and where it seems to be heading.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It's, it has fairly much set the price for what they're going to pay tech. You know, anywhere between $8 and $13 an hour. So that's going to be, you know, the McDonald's standard for nationwide techs. Or
well,
the local businesses are going to be going, you're going to be charging upwards, but I don't know as far as paying employees because I don't have any. But you're still looking at, you know, anywhere between $15 and $20 an hour for them.
And that brings up another point here, because some providers are also companies that have employees and send their employees out to do these jobs. So there's really not a lot that they can really do to, you know, I mean, they're going to be running on a tight margin already. There's not a whole lot more that they can give their employees for going out and running, you know, running these calls.
I can understand it, and I know how it works, but when you're running a business, you really have to watch your costs really carefully. You've got to see where, you know, your income streams are coming from. If you're starting to do more and more of these national calls just to keep the person working,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you've got to ask yourself, at what point is it just killing me to pay for his share of Social Security, his FICA, his everything else, just to run these calls that are, you know, are barely meeting what we need, let alone putting cash in my pocket?
Absolutely. You know? I agree.
It's not an easy job to do.
No, it's not. Well, Dave, thanks a lot, and I'll chat with you later on forums.
I want to hear it. Hey, I enjoy your show.
Well, take care.
You too.
Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can private message me in the forums as rsavoya@forums.onforce.com, or you can reach me at rick@savoyacomputer.com, or visit my website at www.savoyacomputer.com. Opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and do not represent OnForce, Savoya Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written by Jim Chamberlain and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. The show is produced and distributed by Savoya Computer. For the Force Field, I'm Rick Savoya. May OnForce be with you.